You are Locked On Kings, your daily podcast on the Sacramento Kings.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, it is that time. Time for another episode of Locked On Kings.
It is a great day for the Locked On Podcast Network and the Locked On Kings podcast, not just because we have the pleasure of being joined by Jay Mars, my friend from Sports 1140 KHDK on today's episode, but also because a major announcement has just dropped as Tegna, the massive media company, has acquired the Locked On Podcast Network. This means great things for this podcast and the rest of my brother and sister podcasts throughout the network. I'll tell you a little bit about that. Plus, you'll hear Jay and I discuss Buddy Hield's trade value, Tyrese Haliburton being inserted into the starting lineup, expectations for the Kings coming out of these extra practice days, and more on today's episode of the Locked On Kings podcast. Hello and welcome into Locked On Kings, your podcast hub for Sacramento Kings coverage all regular season and all off season. If you're looking for in-depth analysis, game-by-game breakdowns, highlights, interviews with local and national experts, full coverage of the Sacramento Kings from January through December, this is the place for you, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. My name is Matt George. I have the privilege of being your host here. I've been a Sacramento sports radio host for the last 6 years. This is season number 7 for me covering the Kings both as an on-air host and a multimedia journalist. And at the beginning of 2018, I took over hosting this Locked On Kings podcast from Jason Ross. At the time, the Locked On Podcast Network was slowly starting to grow. It was founded by David Locke, who is the host of the Locked On Jazz podcast and also the radio play-by-play broadcaster for the Utah Jazz. He found it, first got Jason Ross involved, then Jason passed the torch over to me, and I've been blessed to host this podcast and watch it grow over the last few years. And now, here we are, a fantastic day where it was just announced that Tegna, one of the major media companies in the United States, has acquired the Locked On Podcast Network. So what does this mean? There's a lot that we still don't know, a lot that is coming, a lot that is changing, plenty of meetings that I'm going to be involved in for the podcast network as a whole over the next few weeks, I'm sure. But it's only a good thing. And the Locked On Kings podcast isn't drastically changing in any way. You're still going to get daily podcasts. I'm still going to be hosting, as far as I know. And you might not notice really any changes at all. Now, Tegna also owns and controls ABC 10 here in Sacramento. They provide phenomenal coverage of the Sacramento Kings. You've heard me have ABC 10's Sean Cunningham and Lena Washington, both of them, on this podcast before. So in theory, this new partnership or ownership of the Locked On Podcast Network by Tegna will allow for great collaboration content between Locked On Kings and ABC 10. Again, I'm not promising anything because I don't really know what everything entails yet, but I'm excited for the possibilities as this podcast network and Locked On Kings specifically continues to grow. And let me tell you, this would not be possible without all of your support, not only of the Locked On Kings podcast, but on the Locked On Podcast Network as a whole. All of the local podcasts, our national shows are doing so well. I have seen the data of how many Sacramento listeners are not only just listening to Locked On Kings, but listening to all of our Locked On content, especially the different Locked On Northern California shows. You are all directly involved in this great day for this podcast network. And it's because of you that we're able to take this network to the next level. And hopefully we in return will use that to provide more phenomenal, unique coverage that you really won't get anywhere else. I'm fired up for today. I'm very thankful for today. And I'm excited to see how Locked On Kings will continue to grow and improve in the coming days, weeks, months, and years. But enough of that. Let's get on to today's Locked On Kings podcast content as I'm going to be joined by Jay Mars, my colleague and friend from Sports 1140 KHDK in Sacramento. Before that, though, I want to tell you that today's episode of the Locked On Kings podcast is brought to you by BetOnline.ag, the official sports betting partner of the Locked On Podcast Network, and of course, sponsor here of the Locked On Kings podcast. With the Super Bowl coming and, of course, the NBA season well underway, not to mention baseball and soccer in the United States just over the horizon, there is only one place that has you covered and one place we trust for online sports gambling. That's betonline.ag. Sign up today for a free account at BetOnline and use the promo code LOCKEDON, LOCKEDON, for your 50% welcome bonus. The Sacramento Kings and Orlando Magic face off in a game tonight that is very close on the betonline.ag betting lines. Tonight, the Kings are 1-point underdogs, +1 tonight in Orlando against the Magic. With the extra practice time, I feel comfortable taking that bet with the belief that the Sacramento Kings are going to be better and have some of their mistakes corrected. Although, like Luke Walton said yesterday on this Locked On Kings podcast, the Magic are a solid team that has underperformed so far this season. They're going to expect to win tonight's game and use their opportunity at home against the Sacramento Kings to start a turnaround for this season. Regardless of if it's tonight's Kings and Magic game or any of the other games on the card for tonight or in the future, BetOnline is your place to play. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get in on the action. And again, use the promo code LOCKEDON, LOCKEDON, to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit at BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. I don't know about you guys, but it feels like it's been a mini off season with the Sacramento Kings not playing for, what, 3-4 days now? But they are back in action, back where the Orlando bubble was held just a few months ago. This time, different circumstances. The Kings and the Magic going to battle tonight. Sacramento trying to build off of their nice win over the New York Knicks, and hopefully the extra practice time pays off and we can see some changes. I am joined right now on the Locked On Podcast Network by a friend and co-worker of mine, Jay Mars from Sports 1140 KHDK. You can hear him on the morning show with Carmichael Day from 6 to 9 a.m. Monday through Friday. Jay, a good friend of the Locked On Kings podcast. I'm glad to have him back here with me. Jay, how are you, my friend? How have you enjoyed these days of no Kings basketball?
I think enjoy is the key word. I don't find myself waking up upset the following morning from watching, I don't know, the worst defense in NBA history, different things in the post game. So you know what? Coming off of a win over a Knicks team that is a very physical team, and then having just this delay of that, it's been really nice, actually.
Yeah, and it made it a little bit easier, right, that they went into this break at least with a win over New York. Now imagine if they had gone into this break after like a blowout loss like they suffered earlier to the Clippers twice or to the Golden State Warriors, and then that had to just
linger
on our conscience for a few days. So at least the Kings are coming in off of a win. But we've heard so much, not necessarily used as an excuse, but kind of as an excuse from Luke Walton and the Sacramento Kings that, man, there's no practice time during the regular season. It's tough for us to develop and work on things without practice time. Well, now you've had that extra practice time, that excuse is taken away. We almost need to see immediate results, right?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. And tonight's going to be a great test because you're going into Orlando. Not a great team. I mean, the Magic, this has just kind of been the story in the last couple seasons. Mediocre, which, by the way, in the Eastern Conference, mediocre can get you into the playoffs. They've been an 8 seed the last couple years. They got a guy in Vucevic who has been just outstanding. And when we talk about the Kings and the defense, to me, the biggest issue has been in the middle, the bigs, the front line. That front line is going to go through a tough test tonight with Orlando.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting for sure, but we're not necessarily speaking about the results have to be a win, although a win would certainly be nice, of course, Jay, but it's seeing better defensive communication, tighter rotations, less scrambling, better perimeter defense, better individual defense. I mean, it starts with everybody just being able to stay in front of their man top to bottom, and that especially is on the perimeter defense. That's especially on Buddy Hield, De'Aaron Fox, even Tyrese Halliburton, Corey Joseph to some extent. Those are the things that they don't have to be perfect. Look, nothing's going to change in only completely over a couple of days, but you need to see improvement. You need to see that there were truly lessons learned. If the Kings go back to allowing 125 to 130 points tonight in a loss to Orlando, we're going to sit here going, what the hell did you do over the last couple of days?
We're going to say, what the hell did you do over the last couple of days? And then all of the questions pre this little break are going to start resurfacing again. Hey, should Marvin Bagley be starting? Hey, should Buddy Hield be starting? Why aren't we starting Tyrese Halliburton? And if you're Luke Walton, you don't want to be having those discussions in the media after every game. What you want to do is, even if they lose tonight, But the defensive effort is there. But not just the effort, the execution on the defensive side. Because, again, you know, and I'm going to pick on Buddy here real quick, but it's more of a team thing as well. With Buddy, everyone's talking about, wow, the effort's there on defense. That doesn't necessarily translate to results. You still have to execute on the defensive side of the ball. And if we're coming out of this game tonight, even if the Kings win, let's say the Kings win, right? But they win 137 to 132. The problems are still there. The defensive questions are still going to linger, and we can't be doing this after every game, because now you're going to question lineups after every game. And that narrative, it just gets old. It gets old for the team. It gets old for the coaching staff. And more importantly, it gets old for the fan base.
Well, speaking of that narrative, we're going to talk about that today, as I spent a lot of time on a recent podcast sharing my thoughts on why I think it is time for the Kings to move Tyrese Haliburton into the starting lineup and move Buddy Hield out. We'll get to that. But I'm not sure if you heard, Jay, and I played it on yesterday's podcast. Luke Walton started talking about how the focus on pace from the beginning of the season, that's what we were talking about a lot during training camp heading into this year, that the Kings are going to get back to the pace from the 2018-2019 season. They're going to play to their strength and get back to the way they were supposed to be playing basketball. And Luke said yesterday, pace is still important, but the focus has kind of been transitioned to defense, because it has to be with how bad the Kings defense has been. You okay with that?
Oh, I'm more than okay with that. We were talking about it on our morning show the other day. It's like, I think Walton had said in one presser at some point, the last practice they had prior to this break, like 90% of it was focused on defense. I'm like, you know what? 99% of it should be focused on defense. We're talking about one of the worst defenses in NBA history, and it's trending to be the worst.
And it's not close. Like, the gap between 30 and 29, which I believe is the Chicago Bulls, is not close.
And you're talking about they know how to play on the offensive side of the ball. They know how to score the ball. They know how to play at pace. They know how to do this. They have shown that. And if it comes to the point where focusing on defense and practice takes away from the offense, so to speak, then I think you have bigger issues at hand. But this team, they're not going to be a good defensive team. Let's get the idea that these guys are going to be good at defense. Like that, throw that idea away. Adequate at defense, I think, is an expectation that we should all have, because to me, an adequate defense, if they were 10th in the league in offense, 20th in the league in defense, you're still not a good defensive team. You're in the bottom third. But I can live with that, so to speak, just because I know the offensive side of the ball is good. But what we're seeing right now is just, we said, do this exercise every time the Kings play right now. And anytime that a big goes out on a pick and roll and switches onto a guard, count how many baskets the other team scores. It's nauseating.
And a lot of that, unfortunately, comes at the expense of Marvin Bagley, which we can see teams are intentionally trying to switch and are isolating him. They're isolating Buddy Hield, which they've done for years. And it's because the Kings, I mean, it's both a positive and negative. I talked about this with Katie Hunter. The Kings aren't being beat by these elaborate schemes, which is almost a good thing because you know it's fixable.
Right.
But the fact that Sacramento has such issues defending a basic pick and roll, knowing when to switch and when to stay home, communicating, rotating, not scrambling. I mean, these are just basketball 101 things that we see the Sacramento Kings struggling with so heavily. And you made a great point, Jay, talking about if this team was just average defensively this season with how good their offense is, and we've heard plenty of players, De'Aaron Fox says it all the time, look, we know we can score, we're not worried about anything on the offensive end, it's just getting better defensively. The players are saying the right things. But if the Kings were just average defensively this season, Jay, I wonder how many more wins they'd have. They've got to be close to a 500 team, maybe a game or two under 500, maybe a game or two over 500. Certainly early on in the season, Kings play halfway decent defense. They win that Raptors game that they blew that massive lead. They win the Blazers game where they blew 20 massive leads. There's two other wins right there, and I'm sure I could come up with a few more.
Yeah, it comes down to that. But so, and to your point, which you brought up, how do you make the adjustment? Where does the adjustment get made in the lineup? Are the five starters that we currently have, Fox, Buddy, Barnes, Bagley, and Holmes, going to figure it out defensively? Does it happen there? Or do we have to really just explore the idea that Marvin Bagley is a, when I say a minus defender, might be the worst defender in the NBA right now statistically. He is so bad. Buddy Hield's not far behind him. And I'm looking at it like, okay, so we have two guys that are amongst the worst defenders in the NBA, I feel like, playing in a starting lineup. Would it benefit one or both of them, A, to come off the bench and play against quote-unquote inferior talent? And the thing with both of them, too, is it's not like they've been great on the offensive side of the ball either.
Yeah. To be fair, though, comparing the two of them, what I see from Buddy Hield, which I've complimented him on, is the effort has been there to improve, sure, but the results haven't been. Marvin Bagley, sometimes we've questioned the effort, but at least over the last handful of games, his defense hasn't been great, but he's figuring out, and Hassan Whiteside talked about this yesterday, he's figuring out how to use his athleticism and quickness instead of the lack of strength that he has to beat players to spots. He actually leads the team in charges drawn. Now, the number's not astronomical, but that's at least some progress that we're seeing out of Marvin Bagley. And considering he's probably more of a part of your core than Buddy Hield is, I almost would prefer to go with Marvin. But you're hitting on the point that I'm hitting on with the lineup changes, which is, to me, the ultimate goal. Because overall, I'll give my honest opinion, I think this compilation of players, this roster just doesn't work. There aren't enough
100%
defensive-minded players on this team for them to be good, so you're going to have to make some significant changes, whether it's at the trade deadline or next offseason. And Monty McNair, I'm sure, is way ahead of this than we all are and is taking notes of this. But right now, if you're looking at what can I do to help fix the defensive issues, to me, you have to limit the amount of time that Buddy Hield and Marvin Bagley are on the floor together. Because two horrific defenders, it's a field day for opposing offenses to pick and choose who they're going to isolate.
Yeah, and I'm with you. I don't think Bagley is leaving the starting lineup. That's not going to be a thing. Buddy, on the other hand, I think we have enough of a sample size to show Buddy Hield's best position is off the bench as the microwave guy that's going to come in and get buckets for you quick, fast, in a hurry. You can hide some of his deficiencies on defense simply because, again, he's not going up against the same quality of talent. And you have to look at, so this is a twofold thing. Not only do I think it would just help the Kings as a roster to have Buddy coming off the bench and Halliburton in the starting lineup, I think that would help raise Buddy Hield's stock again. And just show it's like, basically, look, is he overpaid? Probably. But we've seen this in the past. Teams that are contending at the deadline will overspend if they think there is a guy out there that can help them get to the next level. And if you're a team, I'm not saying, and I'm not reporting or saying anything, I'm just like a team like Denver, right, who is sitting there kind of at the 3-4-5 position in the West once they figure everything out and get everyone healthy. Is that type of team going to look at Buddy and be like, okay, we can probably get him without giving up too much capital, and he gives us this huge scoring option off the bench that we don't have? I think you're going to see several teams that feel like they can get something out of that. And I think if you bring him off the bench, raise that value back up to show what he truly can do and be a 20-point scorer off the bench, I think that helps the Kings improve both right now and in the future, because you'll be able to grab an asset for Buddy at the deadline.
Today's episode of the Locked On Kings podcast is also brought to you by Built Bar, the best tasting protein bar ever. The improved Built Bar is even more delicious. It's the protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. They have 18 amazing flavors like raspberry, German chocolate, peanut butter, banana bread, my favorite mint brownie, salted caramel, and more. The bars are covered in 100% chocolate. They're soft and they're easy to chew. And on top of being delicious, Built Bar is healthy. They're great for the health conscious guy or girl. You can lose or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat. The bars are low calorie and low sugar, but high protein and high fiber. They're also great for the keto diet. Check this out. The cookies and cream bar, 17 grams of protein, 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar, 4 grams of net carbs. The coconut almond bar, 18 grams of protein, 180 calories, 5 grams of sugar, 5 grams of net carbs. The peanut butter bar, 19 grams of protein, 180 calories, 5 grams of sugar, 5 grams of net carbs. Go to BuiltBar.com, use the promo code LOCKEDON. You'll get 20% off of your next order. Again, that's promo code Locked On for 20% off at BuiltBar.com. Continuing with Buddy Hield's trade value, I know a lot of fans are concerned that demoting him essentially from the starting lineup lowers his value even more. I agree with you. I think you could raise his value coming in off the bench. But on top of that, like what you were saying, the advantage that the Kings have in a Buddy Hield conversation, yes, the contract probably at this point in time works against them, as does his revealed limited skill set. I mean, everybody knows now from watching even a little bit of Buddy Hield that he's elite at one thing and just mad everything else.
Yeah.
But that one thing just so happens to be arguably the most important thing in the modern NBA, and that's three-point shooting. And look, let's go back to last season. The Sacramento Kings managed to turn Dwayne Dedmon into Alex Len and Jabari Parker. Now, nothing astronomically great, but they got off that money. Dwayne Dedmon is not on a team at the moment right now. The Kings got good minutes out of Alex Len. Jabari Parker is still on the team. So they were able to do something with Dedmon. That makes me think that Monty McNair will be able to do something with Buddy Hield, even if it's just expiring contracts and maybe a draft pick or two in return. But I'm with you. Moving Buddy Hield to the bench to me is the right play for the Sacramento Kings to make for defensive reasons, bringing in Tyrese Halliburton. Tyrese is already a much better defender than Buddy Hield could ever be. The Kings want to maximize the amount of time that De'Aaron Fox and Tyrese Halliburton are on the floor together. Why not start them in the first quarter and to start the second half and to have them on the floor at the end of games together? And then we talked about this off-air. The one argument that Buddy Hield has over Tyrese Halliburton is his shooting, right? Buddy Hield's a better three-point shooter.
Supposedly.
Except Tyrese Halliburton's shooting percentages are better than Buddy across the board right now. There's no argument for keeping Buddy other than maximizing his value, and the Kings can't think like that.
No, and Buddy is not going to maximize his value. And the other side of that is I think we are learning De'Aaron plays best when he has a secondary ball handler next to him. It frees up his game to do a lot more stuff. And Buddy Hield is not a secondary. He's not a primary. He's not a third dairy, fourth dairy, or fifth dairy. Those aren't words, but we're going to pretend they are.
All the dairy.
He can't handle the ball. And the Kings really have two playmakers on this team, De'Aaron Fox and Tyrese Halliburton. They need a third playmaker, but again, that's beyond the point right now. At the end of the day, if we're going to maximize Fox and we are banking on this Fox-Halliburton backcourt for the next 5 to 10 years, because that seems to be the plan at the moment. Obviously, things can change. Obviously, things can change. But you're not playing for a playoff spot right now. Let's get these guys as many minutes as they can together, since that is a big piece of your core moving forward.
The likelihood of this change being made, let's say, tonight in Orlando, I'd say is very, very low.
I think Luke said he's going to go with the starting five already.
So he's already keeping that starting five. And at least the Kings, if nothing else, have had consistency with their starting five. And it's nice to see that for the most part, they're staying healthy, especially Marvin Bagley. I know he has his hand issue right now, but he's going to be able to play through it. But at what point in your mind does this change need to be made, especially if the Kings continue to trend on the path that they're trending, which is big, bad loss? I mean, their margin of loss is like 16, 17 points.
It's
when
bad.
They're losing big.
They have the worst point differential in the NBA. It's bad when they lose. I think, are we at game 16 or 17 tonight?
I think 17.
By game 20.
Okay.
It needs to happen. It needs to happen in the next week and a half. Put it that way.
And it makes sense for the Kings to potentially be looking at those things. We know Luke Walton has discussed those things with his coaching staff. But look, if the biggest concern that you have for making that move is pissing off Buddy Hield, then to me, there's no concern.
No, that's not a concern at all. Buddy is going to be pissed off regardless. Buddy's probably mad right now about something. Buddy is just that guy. Buddy reminds me of Willie in this sense. By Willie, I mean Willie Cauley-Stein. Is I think Buddy's interpretation of himself as an NBA player is different than everybody else's.
And, you know, that could be a fair assessment, although I believe Buddy has... To me, Buddy has made progress this year in terms of recognizing the mistakes that he made last year, particularly what he said to the media and getting out in front of his coaches and his teammates and kind of putting the spotlight on him. And I hope if this move were to be made, if he were to be quote-unquote demoted to the bench, that he wouldn't view it as a demotion, rather a necessary change for this team to hopefully win basketball games and find some success. But we'll wrap up with this, Jay. Give me a percentage chance, the percentage of the Kings sticking with the same roster and having both Harrison Barnes and Buddy Hield on the team after the deadline, one of the two of them being moved or both of them being gone.
I will give you a 100% chance one of the two of them is gone. And right now, Harrison Barnes has played his way into trade discussions in my mind. I think if the Kings are aggressive at the deadline, kind of what I had said, there's going to be a team out there that looks at what Harrison Barnes is doing. Harrison Barnes has been really good for the Kings this year. every team in the NBA, especially playoff teams, can use a guy that's interchangeable at the three or four that is going to come in, not need the ball to dominate on offense, but will do whatever you ask of him. He's on a contract that descends. There's only 2 years left after this at 20 and 18. So it's becoming more and more team friendly. I look at a team like Boston,
yeah,
who has that massive trade exception. I think they are going to be making a lot of calls to the Kings as the trade deadline approaches as a guy like Barnes. Both of them, that is going to depend on Buddy. And that is going to depend on whether the Kings bring him off the bench and up that value. Because right now, he doesn't have much trade value. If you ask me, I don't think a team is going to even give up expirings for him at this point, just because he has been so bad both defensively and offensively. Like, we know Buddy's going to be bad on defense, but he can't struggle on offense the way he has. That just diminishes his value. If he stays at this rate, I don't think he'll be available. Or excuse me, he'll be available, but I don't think he's going to have a lot of suitors at the deadline. I think Barnes will. I am 50-50 on both of them being traded by the deadline.
Well, we don't know much about Monty McNair and his trade philosophies, but we do know that he values flexibility,
yes,
opening up his salary cap. So I tend to agree with you that someone of those two will be on the move, maybe even Corey Joseph, maybe even Hassan Whiteside, although Hassan's deal is expiring and not worth
deal.
That much money. Regardless,
Bjelica, I think, will be gone too.
Yeah, Nemanja Bjelica. So I think Monty McNair has his work cut out for him. And also, of course, Jay Mars has his work cut out for him working with Carmichael Dave every single morning on Sports 1140 KHDK. Be sure to listen 6 to 9 a.m. for their fantastic content, especially after King's loss, as their Kingsaholic Anonymous the next morning will help you kind of unwind and get the steam off of your chest. But Jay, it's always a pleasure to have you on the Locked On Kings podcast, my friend. Thank you so much. Hope we can do it again very soon.
It's been too long. We'll have to do it again very, very soon.
I look forward to that day. Big thanks again to Jay Mars for appearing on the Locked On Kings podcast. If you want to respond to anything that we talked about, please do so on Twitter. At Matt George Radio is how you can reach me. Feel free to email me as well, mgeorge@saclocalmedia.com. You can get in touch with me privately there. I do my best to try and respond to every email, every tweet, every DM that I get. If I haven't gotten to you yet, I promise I will get to you, or at least try to get to you. And if I somehow forget about you, which is very possible, please send me another message. Let me know, hey, I still have this question, or I have this comment. Respond, talk to me, engage with me. I listen to your podcast. The least you could do is talk to me for a couple minutes. I take that very, very seriously, so please send me a reminder. I would love to get in touch with you. Also, of course, thank you again for the amount of support that you've shown the Locked On Kings podcast over this very difficult year. 2020, those numbers absolutely blew me away, and it's because of those numbers that we were able to make this amazing jump and make this amazing announcement of Tegna acquiring the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm excited to see what that brings Locked On Kings and the network as a whole in the future. Please stay for that. And of course, join me on tomorrow's Locked On Kings podcast as we recap, hopefully, a Kings win in Orlando against the Magic. Like I said in that conversation with Jay, even if the Kings don't win, I'm expecting significant improvement based off of this practice time. We'll talk about that a lot in detail on tomorrow's show. Until then, my name is Matt George. Thank you so much again. Stay safe, stay healthy. I'll talk to you soon. You have been listening to Locked On Kings, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Kings, your daily Sacramento Kings podcast.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.